Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.
This particular story absolutely warmed my heart. Now, we've spoken about Makanda in many, many ways. We've spoken about the Eastern Cape. We've spoken about the poverty in the Eastern Cape. We've spoken about criminality in the Eastern Cape. We've spoken about a lot of social ills in the Eastern Cape. However, something absolutely wonderful is happening in the Eastern Cape, and this is the ability for learners to read for meaning, which is a problem that we've been talking about for a long time now in the country, where there seems to be a bit of a disconnect between the kind of results that we see at the end of the year, especially the matric results, because we're obsessed about that, and really on the ground, the ability for learners to read for meaning. Now, the Eastern Cape has done something phenomenal. They've managed to do this in a way that we couldn't imagine. And they've done this working with communities. They've done this working with the university and collaborated in getting this problem going, where young people are able to read for meaning. I do have on the line General Manager at GADRA Education. And these are the people who've been working with the community very, very closely to help young people in the Eastern Cape read for meaning. Just literacy has been something that they've been obsessing about. And of course, they're also from Rhodes University. So I do want to bring on to the platform Ashley Westway, who has been part of this program. And it really is behind this wonderful, wonderful initiative, and sometimes also culminates in a summit. Thank you very much, Ashley, for talking to us. A very good evening to you.
Good evening to you, Pamela. Thanks for having me on the show, and good evening to your listeners.
Ashley, I mean, we talk about lots of bad news on the show, and this is wonderful. It really, really is wonderful. I just want you to take us through the genesis of this program.
I think we've got to start, Pamela, with the inauguration of Professor Mabizela as the Rhodes University Vice Chancellor in 2015, because that appointment, that decision of University Council to appoint Professor Mabizela was absolutely fundamental in providing leadership for this initiative, because right from when he was inaugurated, he made a commitment to reposition the university to make it much more relevant to the pressing and real problems in Makanda. So that instead of the university just being based in the city, it actually started concerning itself with the real needs and issues that are experienced by the 80 odd thousand citizens of the city. So his leadership has been absolutely essential, and what he's managed to galvanize is the entire education community around a vision for a more equal city and a more effective city in terms of educational performance. So it's really been a very encouraging process to be part of, because it's been collaborative, it's been inclusive, and it's been effective.
So the NGO GADRA, when was that established?
We've been around for a while. We're almost 70 years old. So the city is quite interesting in that there's a wide variety of organizations that stand together and that have stood together for a long period of time. I mean, just to give one really interesting example, obviously the organization was established during the dark days of apartheid. One of the most heinous mechanisms that the apartheid government used to divide this country was forced removals. There were in fact only two communities in South Africa that managed to resist forced removals. Alexandra in northern Joburg, of course, is well known, and the other one is Finger Village in Makanda, previously known as Grahamstown. And one of the ways that was achieved, that successful resistance, is the whole community, with large pockets of the university playing a prominent role, and even some of White Grahamstown playing a role in resisting that removal. So there's a long history in the city of multiracial solidarity and organizational collaboration. And what we're seeing now is really just a kind of a contemporary expression of a really rich history of solidarity in the city.
And so when, you know, when this program came about now, obviously fast forwarding to where we are right now, where we have literacy problems, where children are not reading for meaning, one of the things that's come up is the issue of language and the home language being really at the core of helping children read for meaning.
Yeah, look, literacy is a very, very complicated issue. Obviously, we are respectful of language diversity in the country, as is reflected in the official recognition of 12 languages and the commitment to respecting all of those languages. So it's a complicated issue. In Makanda, we have some schools where the language of teaching and learning is English, some schools where the language of teaching and learning is Afrikaans, and the vast majority of schools where the language of teaching and learning is Xhosa. So those are the languages that are most significant in Makanda, and those are the languages and the language needs that we somehow have to try to balance. It is a very complicated issue. It is a very challenging issue. The fact of the matter is that whereas the country as a whole is currently sitting at 19% of grade 4 learners able to read for meaning in the language in which they were educated for the first 3 years of their schooling, in Makanda we are sitting at 45% currently. So that is considerably more than double the national average. But it also, of course, means that 55% of our children, of our grade 4 children, are not able to read for meaning. So whilst we celebrate the gains that we are making, we are also very mindful of the fact that we have just really begun to tackle this issue, because our commitment is to every school and every child in the city.
Actually, how do we get publishers to see the need for the very different indigenous languages and being open to publishing? You speak of your colleagues, at least Kelly Long, speaks of how we need more creative works in, let's say, in isiXhosa, for instance, and access to those kinds of works. But on the other hand, you have lots of writers and authors who are saying nobody wants to publish us. They're telling us there are no readers for our works.
Yeah, and look, language, of course, is a societal issue. Language is enmeshed in all sorts of power configurations, economic processes, financial processes, political processes. It is a really, really big issue, and I don't think that it can be tackled in isolation. So I think what needs to be done is for interventions like ours and looking at the different performances of the different schools in relation to language issues. We need to confront the inequalities that exist, and those inequalities are obviously to some extent linguistics. Those inequalities are also class-based, and we need to actually be upfront and honest in relation to acknowledging and understanding inequalities and to galvanize a grouping of people and organizations who are committed to basically tackling those inequalities. But you're quite right. We have to look at those issues square on, acknowledge them, and if we don't do that, we're not going to be able to address the persistent inequalities in our country. But perhaps what I can just also mention, Pamela, because what we are trying to do in Makanda basically spans the entire educational process from when children enter the system until when they exit the system and then go on to university. Because what Professor Mabizela is trying to do is to make the university much more accessible to local disadvantaged learners. And just to give you an indication of the success in that regard, around about 2011, there were only 10 young people from disadvantaged schools accessing Rhodes University. And this year that number is up to almost 200. Mm. So we've improved 20-fold, and that is because we are paying attention to pressing educational issues from grade 1 all the way through to grade 12. So, for example, in the foundation phase, the key is to promote literacy in terms of decoding text and oral reading fluency. Mm. In the intermediate phase, our focus shifts to comprehension ability. In the senior phase, we are trying to promote mathematics and science so that learners have the option to take mathematics and science through their FET years. And in the FET process, we are focusing on top-end performance to enable as many local disadvantaged students as possible to access Rhodes University based on merit. So right throughout the process, there are a range of organizations. Obviously, the university is centrally involved in this process, but a range of civil society organizations working together, working creatively, working effectively to address the particular educational challenges at the different developmental stages of young people. And it's just been a wonderful process to be a part of, because there's a tremendous extent of collaboration and solidarity across the city. And I think one is more and more seeing that reflected in the results. And this is why the education community in South Africa is starting to take note of what is happening in Makanda, because it's quite unique in the country.
You know, obviously you've had a summit over the weekend and you've fleshed out a lot of the issues that you bring up to the fore here. I'm still worried, and I want us more to talk more about the rest, who are not top achievers, who are not math and science boffins, and how do we catch them along the way as well? So I would like us to explore that a bit more.
So what the summit did, Pamela, the summit sets a grand vision for Makanda to emerge objectively, using objective criteria, as a leading education city in South Africa by 2028. And we basically have set targets and measures in relation to key educational outcomes. So, for example, we've set a target of 50% for grade 4 learners able to read for meaning. The second target that we've set speaks directly to your point, and this is the retention rate. The retention rate is the opposite of the dropout rate.
Yes, yes.
So the higher the retention rate, the lower the dropout rate. And what we've seen over the last 5 years, it's quite incredible. It's almost unbelievable. Your listeners may wonder if this is true.
Yeah, I saw this.
But our retention rate in Makanda over the last 5 years has gone from 45% to 74%. Basically means that there are more than 350 more 18-year-olds now writing the matric exams than was the case 5 years ago. So, you know, this is about every child. It's not just about math and science boffins, as you put it. It's about trying to address the needs of every young person in an effective way, with effective interventions at the right stage of human development.
And if you maybe can just clarify for me, my understanding would be that a child that doesn't feel completely lost or feel stupid is likely to stay in the classroom than one that feels like they're alienated from the education system.
No, that's quite right, Pumela. And obviously, if, for example, you don't address literacy issues effectively, there's little point for a child to write the final matric exams if he or she is not functionally literate. So it's you know, education is cumulative. You've got to. It's like building a house.
Yeah.
You've got to build the foundations, and then you build the walls. You put the plumbing and the electrics in, and only right at the end do you put on the roof and so on. So, you know, it's got to be built effectively at every stage. What's quite interesting, though, is that I think you made a comment when you were introducing this discussion, Pumela, if I heard you correctly at the beginning, about how we pay more attention to matric compared
as
to,
a country,
to the
yes.
early years.
Yeah.
What's interesting, though, is that there seems to be growing evidence that even during the intermediate phase, in other words, this is at 4, 5, and 6, children are still learning to become more literate during that stage. Mm. So I've quoted you some stats. Let me just repeat them. We have 45% of grade fours able to read for meaning, but we've got a retention rate of over 70%. Yes. And what that means is that in that intermediate phase, more children are becoming more literate. So, you know, we can't give up on processes of literacy at the end of grade three. It's important to develop mechanisms to try to explicitly improve literacy ability. You mentioned my colleague Kelly Long, so she's just developed a program called Ponder Connect, which is exactly about that. In the intermediate phase, in subjects like natural sciences, social sciences, integrating vocabulary and conceptual skills so that literacy is developed very, very effectively even during the intermediate phase.
When I've spoken to experts from other civil society organizations, they've always brought up the issue of the educators themselves also struggling, for instance, in their maths and sciences, where they themselves don't quite have the capabilities required to teach maths and sciences. What are your thoughts on that, and what have you observed?
Yeah, no, obviously teachers are absolutely fundamental, because the education process revolves around teachers. So teachers, the leadership of schools, you know, these are our most important resource. So there are a range of issues, a range of programs also aimed at building teacher capacity, leadership capacity. For example, the business school at Rhodes University on an annual basis offers leadership courses, accredited leadership courses to local teachers free of charge.
Excellent.
On an annual basis in the city now, thanks to the support of the Cavard Foundation, we manage a teacher awards program at the different levels, where we are assessing teachers, taking them through an adjudication process, recognizing them publicly, awarding them generously, all in an effort to raise the profile of the profession. Because over several decades, the profile of the profession has slumped, and we are basically wanting to turn it around. Makhanda essentially is an education city. The economy, the local economy of the city revolves very much around the university, the private schools, the public schools, the College of the Transfiguration, the Library for the Blind, etc., and so forth. So we have to raise the status of the profession. There are also teacher professional development courses that are offered by the university, because we recognize that there are these handicaps, and we need to constantly be investing in upgrading the content knowledge and the pedagogical skills of our teachers.
It's been wonderful talking to you, Ashley. All I can say is that, I mean, it may feel like it's a little progress, but really, really, congratulations. And I think you're starting to move a needle there.
Thank you very much, Pumela. It's been a pleasure talking to you.
That's
and I hope that your listeners are inspired and encouraged.
Absolutely. We really are. Thank you. Thanks, Ashley. That's the General Manager of the GADRA Education and member of the Rhodes University Council, Ashley Westaway there. Thank you very much for that. I think it's inspiring. If we can get a community that is struggling with all the things that they're struggling with, as we know, we speak about them all the time, where we can raise the level of reading for meaning in grade four to 41%. And I know what Ashley actually saying. I mean, it's not quite ideal because we have the rest, you know, the 50%+ who still need to get there. But the national average is 19%. So we've got to reckon with the fact that this community, and of course by the initiative here of Rhodes University, is doing extremely well. And I think we need to look there and see how we can better our own communities with something quite similar, if not collaborate with them.
Click kaya959.co.za.
This is how we do it.
To download the Point of View podcast.